Read all 11 verses of this psalm here, and of course it's written by David. It says at the heading of the chapter there, it says when he fled from Saul in the cave, and so David is fleeing from Saul again when he writes this. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And again, we're going to be looking at a fixed heart this evening, and we're in Psalm chapter 57. The text verse is number 7 that we're looking at, and so each and every one of us need to have a fixed heart here tonight. It's very easy to be led away, astray from the Lord in the age and the life that we live. It doesn't matter what age you live in, but it's easy to be led away from the Lord. And David says, in the middle of all of this, these trying circumstances that he's in the middle of all of the bad things that are happening in his life, he says, he proclaims this, he says, "My heart is fixed. It's not going anywhere." And that's the main focus that it ought to be in our life, is where is your heart at? And this subject comes up over and over again in the Psalms, and that's because it is the most important thing that you and I can focus on. The most important thing is not the outside of our bodies. The most important thing is the inside, what's going on the inside. And so you and I must have a fixed heart. I'm going to give you two illustrations as a launching point here from the Bible. One of those is the Apostle Paul. And he had a fixed heart. He had a heart that was not moved away from the Lord. And even though he was going through persecutions, he was going through trials in his life, all of these bad things were happening. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Even though I'm being persecuted for preaching the gospel and suffering because of that, I'm not going to be moved away from the Lord. My heart is fixed." He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Even though bad things were happening and he was being persecuted, he says, "I'm going to stay fixed. I'm not going anywhere." And the reason that he was not going to go anywhere is because he knew the Lord. He had an intimate knowledge of God. It was not just some kind of surface level thing with the Lord. He had an intimate knowledge of God, and God intimately knew him. And that's what it takes if you and I are not going to be moved away from God, is an intimate knowledge of the Lord. Jesus Christ said of his disciples, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He says, "I know them." It's an intimate knowledge of the Lord. And not only that, the reason that his heart was fixed and not moved away from the Lord is because he had confidence that the Lord would save him in the end. He said, "For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day."
He had an intimate knowledge of God, and he believed and was confident that the Lord would deliver him at the end. He placed his confidence in the Lord. And so Paul had a fixed heart. The next example that I'd like to bring up to you is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the problems that they faced. They were facing either bowing down to a statue, bowing down to an image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, or being thrown into the burning fiery furnace. They had a choice they had to make. And as they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, they said these words. They said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." They said, God is able to do that. He's able to deliver us. The heart's not going anywhere. They're going to stick with the Lord no matter what happens. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had an intimate knowledge of God. They knew the God that they served. And they said, we trust his decision, whatever decision that might be. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to be moved away from God in the face of certain death, in the face of being thrown into the burning fiery furnace. So they had faith in God. And David is in the midst of difficult circumstances, and he declares, he says, my heart is fixed. It's not going anywhere. The heart is the driving force of his life. It's the reason that he does the things that he does. I've told you this many times before, but just as the human heart pumps blood and nutrients to every extremity that you have, and it's the driving force of your body, and if you don't have a heart pumping blood to those organs and to those extremities, they will die. Your heart is the one that brings life to your life, if I'm putting that right. It's the one that animates you. It's the reason that you do the things that you do. Every issue of life flows from the heart of a person, from their haircut to their clothing to who they marry to where they attend church to who all about their relationships. It flows from the heart. And so David says, my heart is fixed. It's not going anywhere. It's fastened. It's secure. It's fast. It's firm. So to summarize, to have a fixed heart is to have a heart that trusts and follows the Lord no matter what storm or situation you might encounter in life. To be unmovable and upright, it is to have a determined and a steadfast heart towards the Lord. And so David made a decision in the midst of difficult circumstances, and he says, my heart is going to be fixed on the Lord. It's not going anywhere. I don't care what happens. Can I get an amen? Everyone getting this? Okay. If not, I'm just going to keep repeating myself till I get a head nod or something. Amen. All right? So, no matter what happened, David committed not to be moved away from the Lord. You and I must have a fixed heart in a world that is constantly changing and a life that never stays the same. Hey, life's going to change on you. Circumstances are going to change on you. And our hearts must be fixed upon the Lord. So let's look at three aspects of a heart that is fixed and steady upon the Lord. Number one, we must have a heart that is full of trust. A heart that is full of trust. Number two, we must have a heart that is rooted in truthfulness. And number three, we must have a heart that is willing to pay tribute to the Lord, to praise God. Number one, we see that David had a heart that was ready to trust God. He trusted the Lord. We see that in verses 1 to 3. It says, he said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. David said, my soul trusted in you. How deep was David's trust in the Lord? David trusted God with everything. He said, all the way down to his very soul, David trusted in the Lord. It was not a superficial kind of surface level trust. It was trust in everything. David trusted the Lord with his safety. We see that in verse number 1. He said, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. He said, just as a baby baby finds shelter underneath the wing of a chicken or the mother hen, he's going to find his safety in the Lord. And so David trusted God with his safety. David also trusted God with his situations. We find that out in verse number 2. I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. David said, it doesn't matter what situation that I have in life, it doesn't matter what kind of tight spot that I might get into, that I'm going to trust the Lord in every situation of life because God is the one performing the things for me. It doesn't matter what happens in life, I have a trust in the Lord. If you and I do not have trust in the Lord, you are not, and I are not going to have a heart that is fixed and unmovable. So David trusted the Lord with his safety, his situations, and finally, number 3, in his salvation. We see that in verse number 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. David trusted God with his salvation. Now, of course, he's talking about physical salvation there, but he trusted that God would send his mercy and his truth to save him. So David trusted God with everything. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't hide something over here in the corner where I'm not trusting the Lord with this. David trusted God with his kingdom, his wife, his family, his children, everything. His own soul, he trusted God with everything. If you and I are going to have a life or a heart that is fixed upon the Lord, we are going to have to put full trust in Him, everything. Trust Him all. Several years ago, it's been several years now, we lived in different houses, various places. We lived over in Lubbock, Texas. Excuse me, I got to get a drink of water. We lived over in Lubbock, Texas, and I just remember this, but I'm sure I did this in more places than Lubbock. But my oldest daughter was about 2 years old, Paige. And I'm not advising anyone to do this. We've got some new parents here, so don't take my advice on this, okay? This is probably not the brightest moment of my parenting career, okay? I took my oldest daughter, Paige, and I'd walk around with her, and I'd hold her back when I could hold her. And I'd take her, and I'd look up at the fridge. I'd say, man, I can reach up to the top of the fridge. So I'd take my daughter, and I would put her up on top of the fridge. And she'd stand down there, and she'd look at me. And I'd be standing there, and I'd say, jump, jump. And she'd stand there and she'd kind of smile and giggle and she didn't want to. And I'm like, oh, it's okay, come on, jump. And so finally, you know what she did? She had to let go. She let go and she'd jump right into my arms and she trusted me. She had to let everything go. She had to let everything on the back, on the top of that fridge go and give me her full weight and trust. You know what I knew at that moment? I knew that I had my daughter's heart, her whole heart right there. Because she let go of everything, and she trusted me. You know what you and I have to do as children of the Lord? You know, my daughter, she couldn't leave a toenail up there. She couldn't leave one foot up there and then lean over and give me a little bit. No, she had to give me everything. She had to give me all of her weight and all of her trust. You know what you and I have to do with the Lord? We can't be leaving stuff up there on top of the fridge. We have to give God everything. Give God everything. If you and I do not have a heart that trusts in the Lord, we're not going to have a heart that's steady and fixated upon the Lord. We have to have a heart that is fixed upon the Lord. Until you're ready to jump and trust the Lord with everything, you will not have a heart that is fixed and steady. It says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3-4. Now listen to these verses. It says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Full and complete trust in the Lord. There you will find peace. There you will find safety. There you will find some steadiness when you trust in him. Because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know what? Trust doesn't just happen the moment of salvation. Trust isn't just for 1 week. Trust isn't just for one aspect or area of your life. Trust is everything. You give God everything. I'm talking about your finances, your children, your marriage, your relationships, all the time, for years and years and years, all the way down to the end of your life. Because once we move away from God and we don't trust Him anymore, you're going to go anywhere. Your heart's not fixed anymore. If we want to have a heart that's fixed upon the Lord, we must trust Him. Trust His Word. The next element of a fixed heart that we see is the reality of truthfulness. The reality of truthfulness. We see that in verses 4 to 6. David is talking about his enemies in these verses. And he's talking about the greatness of his God. And he does not try to sugarcoat the situation and say, well, the situation's really not that bad. You know, the enemies are really not, you know, that dangerous. You know what he does? He says, hey man, it's bad. My enemies, they're like lions. And they're on fire. And they got sharp teeth, and they're out to get me. And I'm fearing for my life, and I need some safety. He wasn't trying to sugarcoat anything. If you and I are going to have a heart that is fixed upon God, we must be rooted in truthfulness. You know what else he was honest about? You know what else he was truthful about? He was truthful about the greatness of his God. He didn't say, well, you know, God, he's kind of up there somewhere, and I don't know if I can quite trust him because he's kind of weak. No, he doesn't do that. He says, man, I got a mighty God. I got a great God. And I trust him. And he's going to help me. He was truthful. He said, God is the creator of the earth. He's all powerful. He's almighty. He's omniscient. He knows all about these. In all of the situations and everything that he talked about, you know what he didn't say? He didn't say, man, I sure am strong. He didn't say, man, I sure am righteous. I sure am good. No, that wouldn't have been truthful. David was truthful about the situation that he found himself in. If you and I are going to have a heart that is fixed, we must be rooted in the reality of truthfulness. There's several different kinds of truth in the Bible. We find out about the truth of the Word of God, the written Word of God. We find out about the truth of the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ. And we talk about the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth. But right now we're speaking about the truthfulness of the situations that you find in your life. Reality and truthfulness is a precious commodity in our society today. You know why this society that we live in is not fixed anymore? It's movable and it's not rooted in reality. They've rejected truth. They've rejected reality. They deny the reality of differences and diversity. They deny the reality of gender, the reality of sin, the reality of nature, the truth that is slapping them right in the face. They deny truthfulness. You know what happens? Our society is losing its bearings. It's going all over the place. I read a story recently. I think this happened in 2014, but they have women's fighting. I think it's called MMA, women's fighting. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. I don't want to watch a couple of women beat their brains out. I really don't want to see that. Amen. But they have it. Well, they had a transgender man, a man who had an operation to become a woman, start competing in the MMA fighting. This is bare-fisted fighting. I forget what this guy who became a girl, who's still a guy but claims to be a girl, went and fought. And I forgot who he fought against, but it was against a girl. And he really maimed that girl, crushed her skull, put her in the hospital. This woman said after the fight, she said, I fought a lot of women and have never felt the strength that I felt in a fight as I did that night. I can only say I have never felt so overpowered ever in my life. And I am an abnormally strong female in my own sight, or own right. And she said she disagrees with that man fighting in the woman's realm. Yeah. You know what? They're denying truthfulness. They're denying reality. Amen. Men are not women and women are not men. I don't care what kind of operation that you do. You can't deny the reality that's slapping you in the face. whenever we decide that we are not going to acknowledge truth, acknowledge reality, your heart is not going to be fixed because you are denying the giver of that reality. You can't do it. Your heart will not be fixed. You think about the first murderer, Cain. God caught Cain committing murder, confronted him about it, and he said, Cain, where's your brother Abel? And he says, I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? You know what he did? He denied reality. He said, I don't know anything about that. You know what God said? From now on, you're going to be a wanderer. You're going to be a vagabond. You're not going to have a fixed place. If you and I deny reality, we deny truthfulness, our heart's not going to be fixed. Not going to be fixed at all. So David's heart was fixed and he readily acknowledged the truth. We must acknowledge our weakness before God. Hey, we're not strong. We're not strong. We have an enemy called the devil, and he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We must acknowledge the greatness of God. Now we have an enemy called the devil, but we have somebody greater than the devil, which abides on the inside of us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Be rooted and grounded in that truth. Your heart will not be drawn away. When we deny reality and truthfulness, it's an indicator that our heart is not fixed upon the giver of that truth. Like I said already, our society has shunned truth. And I'm not talking about something that happens on the pages of the Bible. I'm talking about nature. Nature. We cannot deny truthfulness. So when we are truthful about ourselves, when we trust God, this should give rise to tribute and to praise. If we, you and I, do not give God the tribute and the praise that He deserves in every situation of our life, you and I will not have a heart that is fixed. We will not have a heart that is fixed. You read all of the stories in the Old Testament about the children of Israel and how they griped and complained and did not give God the thanks that they deserved, that He deserved. What happened to them? Well, their heart wasn't fixed. They went away from God. David, in the final verses of this psalm here, verses 7 to 11, David gives tribute to the Lord in the midst of dangerous and difficult circumstances. He says in verse number 7, the latter part of verse number 7, I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praise unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David says, awake, my glory. When David's talking about his glory, he's talking about his tongue. He says, wake up. He says, glory there. He's talking about the weight or the significance that he assigns to his Creator. He's talking about something very, very heavy that he's going to assign to God. Some people measure their worth by their career, by their finances, by their prestige, by their power, by their intelligence. But David wasn't doing that. He says, man, I ascribe everything to my Maker. And that comes through in his praise. David praised God. He says, I myself, in verse number 8, will awake early. He says, I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to praise God for all that He's given to me. He says, I don't care if I'm surrounded by my enemies. I don't care if the situation looks bleak. I don't care what happens in my life. He says, I'm still going to get up and I'm still going to praise God in the midst of difficult circumstances. And you and I know that it's not easy to praise God in hard and difficult circumstances, is it? A lot of times it's a lot easier just to complain, gripe. Say, God, why did this happen to me? Why are you doing these things to me? But God knows best. We can't always see what God's doing. I got a quote here. I don't know who said it, but it says, every good gift that we have had from the cradle up comes from God. If a man just stops to think of what he has to praise God for, he
will find there is enough to keep him singing praises for a week. The best time to praise God is in dark and difficult circumstances, even when it's hard. You think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter number 16. The Bible says that they prayed and sang praises to God at midnight. At midnight. They weren't in a comfy Hotel 6. They didn't have their feet propped up with a soft pillow. You know what happened to them? They had been beaten with rods and their backs were bloody. And they were in the middle of a dark, dank prison in a foreign land. People that they didn't know. That's where they were at. And at midnight, they were singing praises to God. They were praising God. You know what God did with those praises through those that difficult time? He brought about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. That's what happened. Now, what if Paul and Silas would have said, you know what? Does God really know what he's doing? Look where we're at. I mean, we've sacrificed all of this for the Lord. We prayed and we've preached and we've done all these things. Forget this. God doesn't even know where we're at, and he doesn't know anything about us. Forget this. You know what the Philippian jailer probably would have said? Man, I don't want anything they've got. That's the kind of God they got. I think I'll go back to my statue I got at home. Something like that. I mean, at least he provides for me. He gives me meals, because I've been trusting him for a long time. That's what he probably would have done. He wouldn't have got saved, would he have? How about the church at Philippi? I bet that all came from their praising the Lord at midnight with a bloody back, praising God. David said, I don't care what kind of situation I'm in, I'm going to give tribute to God because I owe it to Him. God knows what's best. God knows what's best. Sometimes I don't do that. How about you? Do you give praise to God in everything? Things you don't like? It's hard to do, isn't it? Hard to do. That's what we're called to do. It says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 2, and this is why we should praise God through the storms, because God said He'd go with us through those storms. He'd be with us. It says in Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know what God wanted them to do in difficult situations whenever they were going through bad seasons of life? Hey, trust me anyway. Trust me anyway. I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you through all those things. Trust in God. A heart must be fixed and full of faith towards the Lord, giving tribute to Him. So finally, at the end of this, we are New Testament Christians. We have been born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. As a Christian, our soul trusts in the Lord because God has saved our soul. That's why we trust in the Lord. We were once the ones who were surrounded by lions, which would be the devil. We were the ones who were slaves to sin, servants to sin. But what did God do? God sent help in the form of Jesus Christ from heaven to save us from our sins and save us from the devil. We trust in God because of what He performed on the earth 2,000 years ago through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the mercy and truth of God come down to save us. Jesus Christ gives us victory over our enemies. Jesus Christ is the anchor of our souls. Why do you trust in God? Why would anybody trust in God? Why? Jesus Christ. That's why. You don't have a mediator? Why would you trust in God? Why would you do that? Christianity. That's the only real religion. The only real faith. It says in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, talking about Jesus Christ, both sure and steadfast, which enters into within the veil. Jesus Christ came so that we could be anchored upon the Lord, wouldn't be moved away from Him. Jesus Christ is the light that exposes the true reality of our existence.
And now you and I as Christians, we no longer measure our worth by riches or prestige or any of those other external things. We measure our worth by Jesus Christ. He's the reason for our worth and thankful, or praise and thankfulness. If it was not for Jesus Christ, you know what would be our reality? We would still be dead in our trespasses and our sins. We would not know about the blessings of God if He had not sent His Son, Jesus Christ. We would not know about the love of Jesus Christ, or love of God, if it was not for Jesus Christ. So what will your decision be? Will your heart remain fixed when the trouble comes? It's a decision that you have to make when the trouble comes. Will your heart be fixed and steadfast and anchored on the Lord? Let it not be said that, boy, you left the Lord. Your heart's not fixed anymore. You rejected truth. You no longer trust in Him. You're no longer faithful to Him. Don't let that be said of you. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful that we can have a fixed heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to keep our faith and our trust in you, Lord, not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, not to be moved away from you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to stand before your presence and to pray to you and look into your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to remain fixed upon you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.